Good evening, everybody, and welcome to WMRG 95.3. I'm your host, the G-Man. Folks, tonight is a little bit different than our usual roundtable here with the aspects of racing. We're going to take a 180-degree turn here tonight. Throughout our shows over the last couple of weeks here, you've heard us talking about a wonderful organization called Abby's Helping Hand. Well, tonight, we are going to put our toolboxes aside. We're going to push everything aside. We're going to not wave no flags. We're going to sit down and have a one-on-one here at the round table at the WMRG 95.3 studios here. We have a very, very special guest tonight. Miss Carol Sauerhofer is going to join us tonight. She is probably the most well-versed on this topic here. The topic tonight, mitochondrial, is a very, very rare disease with a lot of folks, but it's a disease and it's a generic issue, folks, that needs to be addressed. There's so many people out there with autistic children, people suffering from autism, people with muscle deficiency, bone deficiencies, the inabilities to socialize in life today. Well, tonight we're going to change all that if we can. Carol is going to be joining us here very shortly. Also, folks, we want to mention that about 8:15 tonight, the phone lines will be open up tonight. If you have any questions that you want to direct towards Carol, feel free to call us at 516-418-5601. Phone lines will be open about 8:15 tonight, and questions will be directed towards Carol. It'll be one question per caller. The show is really, like I say, folks, this is a very, very special night for me, very special night for a lot of folks out there. If we could at this time, let's bring in our guest at the table here and have her join us. Everybody, if we could, a nice warm welcome for Carol Sauerhofer. Carol, good evening and welcome to the MRG studios here tonight. And we are so glad you could be with us.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you definitely here with us. The Walk for Abby, the Abby's Helping Hand. Carol, if you could, kind of a lot of folks been asking about it. Kind of tell us a little bit about what Abby's Helping Hand is and how this function actually started, if you could.
Sure. So our mission is to improve the lives of those affected by mitochondrial disease, but actually any chronic disease, and help them really lead a better life. We try and help them get therapies or home adjustments or medical equipment or adaptive equipment that isn't covered by insurance. Our first Walk for Abby was started back in 2011, but that was totally for the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine back in 2009. So Abby's 9 years old, so she was born back in 2007, but she wasn't diagnosed until 2009 by a specialist in Atlanta. And in 2010, my husband Joe and I were invited down to a symposium in Atlanta to hear about a drug for children like Abby. And we spoke with a mother of a 5-year-old little girl named Olivia, who had Lee's disease, which is a form of mitochondrial disease. It's the most terminal form. Typically, children with Lee's disease probably die before their age of 10. And after being on the drug for about 6 months, Olivia was actually talking. She was she couldn't talk before. She couldn't even take any food by mouth. She had a feeding tube like Abby has. And so after being on the drug for 6 months, she was talking and actually taking food by mouth. It was so promising. So that was in April of 2010. And then we went back down in July for our annual visit there with the specialist, and we asked about Olivia. And unfortunately, she had passed away. So on the ride home, my husband and I said, you know, we got to really try and do something for the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine and try and help them continue to do research. So we thought about doing a Walk for Abby, calling it a Walk for Abby, and hoping that 100 people would show up and hoping to raise $10,000, and we actually had 500 people show up, and we gave $50,000 to the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine. We did the same in 2012. Yeah, isn't that incredible? People all around our community in East Windsor and surrounding communities came out. And so we did it again in 2012, and sure enough, the same response, 500 people coming out, and we gave another $45,000 to the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine. So that's when my husband and I thought, wow, all these people are so supportive of us, we need to start giving back to the community. And that's when we thought, well, let's think of a foundation and start one of our own. Still continue to support the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine, but get it out into the community and help, you know, the people closest to us.
Well, you know, that's amazing. 50,000 and 45,000. Carol, a lot of the listeners out here that aren't familiar with you or your daughter Abby, obviously when Abby was born, tell us about from the time she was born up until the mitochondrial disease was recognized. How did that come about?
Well, it was when she was born. She was born with pneumonia, so she was in the NICU for a little while. She wasn't early or anything. She was to term, and then we brought her home, and everything seemed very normal. She went to her first checkup, and she wasn't tracking, so she wasn't following objects. So the doctor indicated that we should probably go to an ophthalmologist and see what we can find, see if there's anything wrong with her eyes. And when they looked behind her eyes, they found abnormal pigmentation. So we went through some genetic testing, and then she was born in October. In November and December, we were seeing these uncontrollable movements, like her arms and her legs would move uncontrollably. And we would see this several times a day. So finally, we went to a neurologist, and he diagnosed those as infantile spasms, or actually seizures. So she was having seizures. And that's when a series of testing had gone, 2 years of testing, and no results, no positive results, until we were finally, like I said, suggested to go down to Atlanta to a specialist who did a muscle biopsy and diagnosed her with a mitochondrial disease.
So the continuous muscle spasms that, she was having, yes, it being abnormal for children, things like that. How long did that actually concur and take place before you actually got to go down to Atlanta? Was this something that was an ongoing issue, or was there any kind of a treatment that they had tried to bring about for the spasms here? How did they handle that before you went to Atlanta?
Yeah, so she was hospitalized for the spasms and treated with injections of steroids. So she was in the hospital for probably about a week, and my husband and I had to give her injections every day. And so that controls the seizures. And then after that, they didn't disappear. She was put on medication to control, and she still is on medication today to control the seizures. But her neurologist here was testing for a number of different diseases, including the Lee's disease that I mentioned that Olivia had. And nothing was coming back positive. And so he sent us down. He knew of a doctor down in Atlanta, and he did a muscle biopsy, and sure enough, it came back as a positive result. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying. The question I had was leading up to it. Go ahead and finish it.
It's not a specific mitochondrial disease. Like, there are many forms of mitochondria. You mentioned autism earlier in your introduction. But Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, muscular dystrophy, chronic fatigue, even cerebral palsy, those are all forms of mitochondrial disease, some of the more common forms that people know of. But Abby doesn't have a very specific form We just know that her mitochondria in her cells are not working.
Okay, so a lot of people don't understand. Your body actually, folks, produces mitochondria cells. It's something that you are born with in your generic anatomical and, you know, the structure of a human body, the mitochondrial cells. What it is, folks, the mitochondrial disease or the generic disorder, basically the mitochondria is a it's used to produce energy and control the muscle functions in the human body. And people such as Abby and that have a muscle disorder that comes about, as we say, with the uncontrollable muscle spasms, the inability to swallow food, reason for being on feeding tubes and things of that nature right there. And in the body, Carol, I'm just going to throw a couple of things in quick here, folks. Your body has voluntary and involuntary muscle structure in your body that control the function of you day to day. When your heart beats, it has a voluntary and involuntary action that causes blood to pump from the heart and pump back to the heart. When you blink your eyes, that's an involuntary action. It's muscles that take it upon themselves, and they're voluntary. When you have a spasm, when you have a muscle cramp, people are familiar with the term a Charlie horse or things like that. Basically, that's a voluntary muscle function, folks, that you don't have control over. And this is basically, in layman's terminology, what's kind of going on with Abby and a lot of the people with the mitochondrial disease and disorder, is an uncontrollable function in the body. Are we kind of on the right track there, Carol?
You are, yes. You're right. Mitochondria is in all of our cells, and it's actually the energy source for our body to perform our everyday functions. And in the cases where people have a type of mitochondrial disease, the mitochondria is not working properly. So it's like, in some cases, it's, you know, that if they're the power source. So when they don't work, it's like having a brownout, or in some cases, a blackout, and things are just not functioning properly.
That's, and you know, there's a functions of the brain, folks, that control certain issues, certain way that your body functions. You know, we can produce, people hear the terminology, bipolar syndrome, for instance. You know, bipolar, you have a chemical in your body called Depakote. Depakote is a chemical that your body produces to control your, physical emotion, your, crying abilities, your anger abilities, your ability to remain calm, the nervous functions, nervous disorders, and things like that. And autism, Carol, we talked about autism being one of the mitochondrial issues. Most of the time, people are born with an autism issue. But I think what some of the questions that people would ask is, how can the mitochondrial, what causes it to affect autism? What connection is there with Parkinson's? What connection is there with ALS? Can you maybe shed a light on something like that for some of the listeners, Carol?
Well, I think with any of those diseases, it starts to, you know, not so much necessarily, well, with autism, you're still functioning. You might have some learning disabilities. But with like Parkinson's or ALS, the organs start to break down. Your body starts to break down. You lose your speech. You lose your motor functions, your ability to walk and function. So they're all very much connected to going back to those power cells, the power that the mitochondria gives the cells. So that's how it's all connected through mitochondria in the cells and how it, you know, breaks down, or deprives the body of the energy to perform the day-to-day functions. And it just comes, these diseases come at any stage in life. Mitochondrial disease has no prejudice to age, gender, ethnicity. It's actually more common than we think.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a great definition there and explanation, Carol, because, you know, people that suffer from Parkinson's disease, usually motor functions, the ability to think for themselves, you know, in Alzheimer's, you know, the mind goes, it's the inability to, you know who you are, where you are, know your family and know your surroundings. And part of the Abby's Help in Hand, actually part of your program, Carol, if I'm not mistaken here, is to kind of help people be able to socialize, help people to be out there with the everyday life. Tell us about the involvement with KidSpace.
Oh, well, KidSpace is a recreational adaptive play center here in Connecticut. Abby has actually been going there since she was 3 years old, and she gets recreational therapy. She gets homeopathic therapies because she's actually on a ketogenic diet to help with the seizures. And a ketogenic diet, you're not supposed to have any sugar, actually. And a lot of times, these cold medicines that are over-the-counter that you would give a child has sugar in it. A lot of them are flavored, like bubble gum. It has sugar in them. So I can't give her that for a cold. So I go to a homeopathic doctor at KidSpace, and she prescribes a remedy for her. And I go also to, within that KidSpace facility, is a chiropractor. So a lot of times when Abby has a seizure, she can get out of alignment, her neck or her back. So she goes to the chiropractor every week. But these therapies, a lot of these specialized therapies are not necessarily covered by insurance, or some of them are not completely covered by insurance. Some insurance companies only give a certain number of therapy sessions a year, and these children need therapy all year round. So Abby's Helping Hand has sponsored a number of children to attend these specialists at KidSpace here in Connecticut. Or we also, there's another one, the name is escaping me, but there's another facility in Newington, Connecticut that we send children to, where we help children go and get specialized therapies there as well.
You'd think that something like this here, Carol, that they would be a way to maybe connect it with the St. Jude's facility. That's something that's crossed my mind here for since we started, you know, researching and talking to you about the Abby's walk here and mitochondrial issues and things like that. And as far as Abby's day-to-day routine, I know I kind of got a little chuckle the other day when I was watching the video with her and her music therapy. And, you know, to me, we're talking about some friends of hers that relate to music and everything. Kind of give the folks a rundown of Abby's day-to-day routine from the time she gets up.
Sure. So she's in bed right now. So she goes to bed pretty early, but she gets up pretty early. She's up by 5:30, 6 o'clock, and she actually goes to school. She goes to a public school right here in Broadbrook, where the special education students are integrated with the mainstream students. And I drop her off at school at 9:15 every day, and she spends her mornings with her fourth grade friends, who read to her, or they write in her journal and then read it to her. In the afternoons, she goes to a pre-K class because, you know, fourth grade, it's starting to get very academic, and Abby is obviously not going to excel in math or reading. So she goes to pre-K, and where she does more, you know, reading or singing or helping hand-over-hand coloring or painting. In between there, she has occupational therapy, physical therapy, she has speech therapy. So the school, public school, provides all of those important therapies that Abby needs as well. And you mentioned music. Abby loves music. I knew she loved, she responded to music anytime it was played here at home. And so I started doing some research on music therapy, and music therapy is actually excellent for special education students, even students with autism, because these students cannot necessarily attend the mainstream music classes because of their sensory difficulties, their sensory challenges. So these music therapy classes help are a little softer. They help them in communicating. It helps them to follow directions. It even helps elderly with Alzheimer's. Music therapy actually helps Alzheimer's patients with their memory and reminiscing of old songs. So Abby's Helping Hand has actually brought music therapy into a couple of school districts here in Connecticut. And we've also given some headphones and iPods and iTunes gift cards to a couple of nursing homes in Connecticut to help their Alzheimer's patients with their music program.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. I've got to ask this here. Does Abby have any favorite music that she really likes?
Well, we're a country music house.
That's a good thing.
But, you know, the Disney movies and the music in the Disney movies are very much her favorite. I think she brightens up to those.
Good. That's wonderful. You know, and that's, we talk about autism, Carol, and, you know, autism is a very, very unique disorder. Anybody that's never been around an autistic person or child or anything like that, there's so much that has to be learned. I have relatives in my side of the family that are autistic, and you know, the upbringing with them was very, very difficult for people in our side of the family that did not understand it at that time. You know, we're going back quite a few years. But things like, you know, loud noise, loud sounds, loud music, loud voices. There are certain things that really trigger the autistic inabilities to where, you know, they kind of, it angers them. It causes them to want to hide, or causes them to hold their hands over their ears, or to make excessive or aggressive sounds, or act aggressive and things like that. Basically, it's the loud noise and sounds and things is affecting the central nervous system. And again, the mitochondrial issue to control these situations, you know, with the ability to, okay, that's just music. It's not going to harm me. It's a loud noise on a TV. It's not going to hurt me. There's so much inability with the autism, but I really, with the Parkinson's, that to me is something that I have a relative that suffers from Parkinson's, and we watched that person at the age of 40 go from being somewhat very active and normal to 6 years later to losing complete inability to even go to the bathroom by themselves. You know, and we're talking about a person who was very athletic, energetic, worked a job every day, and then in just a matter of time, the constant care that's needed now, it's, I really, the research and development, Carol, that Abby's helping hands here, is it a day-to-day research project, Carol, that's going on to study more about the mitochondrial issues here? Is it something that, you know, is it curable? Is it incurable? Is it controllable? Where do we stand right now with the research and development that's taking place now, Carol?
Well, Abby's Helping Hand, just to be clear, does not do research.
Okay.
We're an outreach organization. So we funnel financial support to the families who are impacted in whatever they need. But the research, we leave the research and the development to foundations like Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine, or even even the Michael J. Fox, I think, Foundation, they might be doing research as well. So we still support. That's kind of our way of helping Abby, because none of the funds that we raise go to Abby or our family. We support the foundation. That's our way of kind of helping Abby. So if there's any questions about development or research or what's happening in that area, it's probably best to go out to hopeflies.org. That's the Foundation for Mitochondrial Medicine organization. They are actually, what they're doing right now, their logo is actually a firefly. So let me tell you a little story about why that is, why they have the firefly. The firefly, as you know, the tail lights up. It lights up from the luciferous. It's called luciferous that's in the tail of the firefly. When the firefly's tail lights up, it means that their mitochondria is working. They have actually taken the luciferous out of the firefly's tail and injected it into human cells and given those cells energy.
Wow. That's
unbelievable. Isn't that amazing?
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing? So that's some of the things that they're working on. The drug that I was talking to you about that we went to a symposium back in 2010 in Atlanta, they are still in the early stages of that drug. So they are continuing to try, and there's no cure. There is not a cure for any of these diseases. There is only treatment. So they are continuing to fine-tune treatments. The hope is that one day there will be a cure, just like a cure for cancer, just like a cure for anything. There is that hope.
Well, as far as, you know, with Abby's treatments and other children that have been affected by this here, the ongoing treatments, the ongoing day-to-day therapy or week-to-week therapy, do we start to notice improvement on things? Do we start to notice motor skills and motor function starting to work? Do we notice more attentive reaction to certain things from the children now, Carol?
Therapy is extremely important for these children. Stretching every day, getting them to try and sit up on their own every day. Abby actually goes to hippotherapy. It's a horse therapy. So she actually just went today. So we get her on a horse. We have three people around her, holding her up. And the movement of the horse helps in strengthening her core muscles to try and sit up. And I've definitely seen a difference over the past, even just the past few months that we've been doing hippotherapy. But even over the years that we've been going to Kids Space and having therapy at school every single day, I've seen a tremendous change in Abby's ability to tolerate situations, tolerate sitting up for longer periods of time. So constant therapy is very important for these children.
Now, that's amazing. You know, you talked about, you had the first walk and you had 500 people show up. Carol, I'm curious here, out of these 500 people that showed up, are a lot of these people in some way, do they have a connection with people that are affected by the mitochondrial issue, or are they, I'm just curious what the connection is with these people, and if there isn't any kind of a connection with the mitochondrial issue and disease, are they very inquisitive? Are they questionable people when they come to you? I mean, I'm sure their hearts are in the right place, and they're obviously when you raise $50,000, you know, their hearts are definitely in the right place. But out of all these people here, how many people would you say you've actually touched emotionally to where their involvement wants to stay and continue with you on a day-to-day or a continual basis every time you put on a function here?
1 year when I was, I try and do a welcome introduction when the walk starts. 1 year I asked people to raise their hands if they knew somebody with autism, and they kept their hands up. And then I asked, how many of you just know somebody? It doesn't even have to be a relative, just a neighbor who has Parkinson's, who has Alzheimer's. And by the time I stopped naming the diseases, nearly everyone's hand was up. And if your hand wasn't up, then the person next to you's hand was up. So everyone knows somebody that is impacted by these diseases. So I think it was a combination of learning about, as they learned about mitochondrial disease and how they learned they are actually connected in some way or have something in common with Abby. It just, I think that's what brings them out. But I think it's just, if you see Abby, you put a face to a disease, and they just want to come out and support. Last year, actually, we had 700 people. So this year, in 2 weeks, April 22nd, we're hoping for 1,000.
That's unbelievable. Here, the 500 people that showed in continuous. What are some of the things, Carol, that people can do if they have questions or if they're interested to find out more about the mitochondria or things like that? Are there websites that people can go to, or are there research sites that people can go to? Tell us about that.
Sure. So first and foremost, the most information about mitochondrial disease, you can go to hopeflies.org, hopeflies.org. And then Abby's Helping Hand, .com, ABBYS, Helping Hand, spelled out, .com, tells you all about Abby's story, who we helped, pictures of some of the children and families that we have helped. There's only, I still have to update the website because there's many that are not on there, but we've probably helped hundreds of, between the music therapy and the families impacted by chronic disease, we've helped hundreds, and we want to help thousands. We want to grow. We want to grow across the United States.
Well, that's amazing, too. And, Carol, we're going to take a quick station break here, and we'll come right back. Folks, this is the MRG Radio Network here at 95.3. Your host tonight, the G-Man, here with our very, very special guest, Ms. Carol Sauerhofer. And the walk for Abby's with Abby's Helping Hand. Folks, this is a show here that we are so glad that you could be a part of tonight here. And we're going to continue this show with many more segments here with Carol and the good folks here from Abby's Helping Hand. Hopefully we can put together a series of shows here to keep you updated and keep you posted and let you know what's going on. So, folks, like I say, the call lines will be open here. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question for Carol, please do so. You can call us at 516-418-5601. If you have a question for Carol, feel free to call in. Give us your name and direct your question directly at Carol. And like I say, folks, this will be part one of a hopefully a multi-series show with Carol and the good folks with Abby's Helping Hand. Hopefully next time we can get more of the representatives from Abby's to come on here and answer some questions and just entertain us with the most enlightening stories here. I know it's so amazing what this organization is doing and the cause behind it here. So, folks, we're glad you could join us here tonight, 95.3 with the G-Man here at MRG Radio. Don't forget to join us the next show tomorrow night. We'll be back on a regular schedule with our racing program. And like I say, once again, Carol, thank you for being a part of the show here tonight. Carol, I had something come up here on the chat line here. People want to know about, do you have a Facebook page and where can they go? And is the Facebook page a member page only?
No, it's not a member page only. It is Abby's Helping Hand, ABBY apostrophe S, Helping Hand.
Okay, and that is Facebook, folks. You can go to the Facebook and contact them. What about if people are interested in getting to find out about the walks that you have and some of the events? Carol, tell us a little bit about what you got coming up. What's your next event scheduled here, and how can people find out more about it if they're interested?
Sure. So, like I said, the walk, the annual walk for Abby is coming up on April 22nd. We usually do it just around that little bit middle of April, towards the end of April, every year. We just came off of a newer event that we've done for just a couple years. The Winter Gala is in February. We usually try and do it around Valentine's Day, and that's where we have a dinner, a DJ with dancing, and a silent auction. And then we also do a ladies' brunch and vendor shop the weekend before Thanksgiving in November, where we have a brunch and we have some vendors that women can go shopping just to get the kick off the holiday shopping season. And our Walk for Abby is a great family fun event. We have a huge raffle. We have free refreshments. So my husband cooks hamburgers and hot dogs for everybody when they come back from the walk. We have a DJ, face painting, Jim Boyle, who is a race car, race fan, racer, is going to be there as well. He was there last year. He races in Waterford and I believe Stafford. So he will be there again this year with one of his race cars where the kids can get in and get behind the wheel and to get their picture taken with him. It's just a great family fun feel-good event.
Well, that sounds good. You need to add some horseshoes there. You need to add a cornhole game and a dunk tank there. We need to really kick this thing up a little bit. You know, as they say, hit some tires and light some fires here and get this thing rolling. Maybe have a little sing-along, a little bonfire. Also, I did notice, folks, if you wanted to listen to Carol's, she has a little biography that she's done on YouTube, which is very interesting. And all you got to do, folks, just go to the YouTube and type in Abby's Helping Hand, and you'll see a couple of different sites on there with Carol, and she's given just a brief biography on a little bit about Abby and the Abby's Helping Hand, which is a great YouTube video, folks. I highly recommend that you watch it. I highly recommend that you go ahead, Carol.
I have to give that credit to a high school student, Mike Stevalone, here in East Windsor, who did the documentary and actually submitted it to a film festival for high school students. And he actually made the cut for the finalists. He didn't actually win, but it was on the big screen in New York City. He did a fantastic job. A sophomore in high school did that documentary.
That's amazing. It is. It really is a good documentary, folks. And it was done very right. It was done professionally, very legible, very clear, good videography that was done on it. So check it out, folks. Carol, what about as far as a contact email address, people that are interested in maybe possibly making some silent donations? I know a lot of times people like this like to you know, you are a nonprofit organization, as we are here with MRG Radio. Contributions and things like that are accepted. How, if somebody wants to make a donation or contribution to the Abby's Helping Hand, folks, Carol, what do they need to do for that?
You can go to our website. There is a donate menu at the top of our abbyshelpinghand.com site. Or you could mail us a check made out to Abby's Helping Hand, and that address is P.O. Box 557 in Broadbrook, that's two words, B-R-O-A-D-B-R-O-O-K, Connecticut, 06016. And our email address is abbyshelpinghand@gmail.com.
Now, as far as the the members that are with the staff with you, Carol, who is it that you have that's working directly with you here? I'd like to give some credit to some folks on your team, if we could. Tell us a little bit about who's involved with you, Carol.
Yeah, I have a board of nine. There is, I have a, you know, an accountant, Marina Retta, our secretary, Patty LaFave, our vice president, Patty Cota. Dale Nelson is on the board, along with Maria Root and Jason Bauza, as well as Terry Marino.
Now, these
and
folks
they help
here,
on a, yeah.
No, go ahead. These
go ahead.
These help you on a regular basis, I assume.
We actually we're meeting. You know, lately we've been meeting weekly. We meet typically on a monthly basis to go over any application, financial applications that have come in, or fundraising, new fundraising ideas. We also actually give scholarships to high school students who are going into the medical or education field of study. We give $500 scholarships, and we're in the process of, you know, that season is coming up, so we're going to be reviewing those scholarship applications. And then just, you know, trying to understand our roadmap and our vision, and how do we, ways that we can expand, you know, our network of not only our supporters, but our network of how we can help more people.
Well, yeah, I think, Carol, the biggest, challenge I think right now that I would, like to, address here is, you know, our show is a syndicated show. We do cover 50 states here, and we're also broadcasting in Canada tonight. We're broadcasting actually in New Zealand. We've actually got a link set up to the Australia, which will be actually broadcasted tomorrow because they're a day ahead of us here. And we're in Alaska tonight as well. We're covering right now, by the looks of it, we're in 43 states right now. Basically because of the time difference with some of the states towards the west of us here. But I think, you know, a plateau, Carol, that needs to be set, a goal that needs to be reached, would be to try to reach out to not just Connecticut, but let's set a goal here. Let's try to reach out. Let's try to cover national chapters. I mean, you know, I'm saying, you know, why stop now? Why do we have to you know, let's get out there. I mean, let's recruit. Let's get some people on the ball here. Let's do some recruiting. Let's get the word out. Let's try to get into, you know, several states. Let's try to get nationwide here. Folks, I think that would be the ideal way to really kick this thing into high gear here. As they say, kick it up a notch here, is to reach out. Folks, all the members that are out there on Facebook, I'm sure that somewhere, somebody, I mean, you know, you people out there got 200, 300, 400 people on Facebook, and I don't think that they're just in Connecticut. You know, we got people, we got friends that are in states all over the place here. Carol, we really need to reach out on a national level here to get the word out about Abby's Helping Hand. You agree?
Absolutely. We're just shy. I haven't looked today. We were just shy, less than 100 shy of 1,000 likes. So I'd love to see a lot of people like our page on Facebook. And that's where we do a lot of our advertising for our event, not only our events, but, you know, we really take pride in letting our supporters know exactly where their fund, their contributions are going. So we get the permission from the people that we are helping to put their picture out there, and we love putting pictures of the children or the people that we help, that your contributions are helping. That's so important to us. It's so important as a small organization that you know exactly where your funds are, that you contribute, are going to help children and families.
That was my next question here. Has Abby's Helping Hand, and I'm sure they must in some way, but I've got to ask this question again here for the live listeners here. Do we have any kind of a portfolio that Abby's Helping Hand has put together to where we can be something that can be distributed to show people? Like you say, you do scholarships and grants and things like that for children. Do we have anything that we have compiled or put together as a portfolio that people can really attach themselves to, Carol?
I actually did a booklet for our event back in February, a booklet that I will try and get an electronic copy of it and publish it. And it's all the pictures of the people that we have helped, a little story about them and how we helped them. It's not in electronic form. It's a picture book that I just displayed at our event, but I will try and get that on an electronic format. We try and put our pictures out there too on the website. There are several pictures of the people that we've helped and their stories on our website as well.
Okay. I got one better for you. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. I have several websites that we have created. MRG Radio here would like to take and help you design a portfolio by giving you your very own web page, blog page, and productivity pages, all done at our warm hand out to you, extend an offer to you, Carol, and to the Abby's Helping Hand to let us create the electronic profile for you. Absolutely, of course, it's all free of charge, nothing. The only thing that we ask is that you submit information. We'll go ahead and we'll publish the page for you, and we can do that. If you'd be wanting to do something like that, we can get started on it as soon as quickly as Friday.
Fantastic. That would be great, Greg. Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
Absolutely.
We can go ahead and put that together by just simply taking a few of the stories that you have, some of the photos and pictures, just to give people a start. We'll create the blog page for you, to where the blog page will be able to, we can attach photos, we can attach stories, we'll attach a comment section for you on there. We'll also attach it directly to your Facebook page, and we can attach it directly to your website. So people at all time will have access to see what you're doing with Abby's Helping Hand and the group itself. And, you know, we can cover all that for you. And I think because our publication that we use for the racing industry part of it here reaches out to about 16,000-17,000 right now is what our last numbers were from the stats that we took on Monday from one of the shows that we coordinate. So I think if you'll accept our offer there, we'd love to do it for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Greg. That'd be great.
Not a problem. That'd be one way that we can get the word out to people and get people to understand more about Abby's Helping Hand. And we'll send you the master link to it, let you check it out, see what you think. And if you like the way we laid it out in the format here and like the way we kind of presented it, then we'll go ahead and we'll make it official to the public on Friday. Let's see, tomorrow is Thursday. We'll start working on it Friday, and hopefully we can get your board members to look at it and see what they think. Because like I say, Carol, nationally, this is where you need to be. You know, we've got a ladder here. We've got a plateau to reach now. The plateau that we need to reach is to be a national recognized organization here. I'm sorry, go ahead. I know you had something to say.
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity and helping me to do that. That's fantastic.
It's our pleasure here, definitely. And you know, like I say, I think most of the folks out there would agree that this is, it's like, you know, I can remember, Carol, growing up as a kid, you know, our biggest thing used to be always watch the Jerry Lewis telethon when we were growing up as kids. I know my generation goes a little bit further back than yours, but but still, watching the Jerry Lewis telethon was our that was something to us that was we had to stay up. You know, we did our chores, we did what we were told to do, so we could stay up and watch the telethon. You know,
right.
I can remember the number 6449700. That was the magic telephone number. You know, and Jerry Lewis had some great talent on the show, but we actually got involved with it back north years ago when I was a city firefighter back north in the Connecticut area and up in Massachusetts, and I was with Boston EMS for quite a few years. We actually did a bunch of fundraisers, barbecues and cookouts and, you know, fun and game things, carnival days to raise money for the telethon, and it was just an absolutely wonderful thing. We raised like $36,000 with the city of Boston EMS and Fire Department to, you know, to give to the telethon. So it was just really something special. And I think, Carol, you know, what you're doing is above and beyond, you know, what anybody could ask for. And it's such a wonderful cause. But what do you think? Do you think we can reach this national goal, Carol, if we all kind of put together a team effort? You know, there's no I in the word team, but if we all got
together.
Absolutely. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. You know, folks, that's what it's all about, folks. It's all about teamwork. It's all about team effort. You know, I have an old saying, Carol, you know, people can, you know, belong to anything. You can belong to any kind of organization you want. You can belong to a Girl Scout troop. You can belong to the Legion. You can belong to the Shriners Club. But to be a true member is to be involved and know why you're being involved. You know, anybody can, like I say, can belong to anything. But to be a true member is to be a participant and understand the functions and the reasoning why we do what we do. You agree?
I agree. I totally, absolutely agree. Yeah. It's having a passion and working through it and trying to bring it back out into the positivity of the, in the community. And we just have an amazing, I have to think we couldn't do it without the amazing support of the East Windsor community and the surrounding communities in East Windsor, because they just, it amazes me how they come out for us every single year. They're just amazing. And we couldn't do it without them. They inspire us. They inspire us.
You know, when you talk about 500 people plus, you know, the Broadbrook area. Broadbrook isn't really that big of an area up there in Connecticut. East Windsor, you know, the people that don't know about Connecticut, you know, these areas up there, folks, on the outskirts, East Hartford, East Windsor, you know, I lived up there. I worked Pratt & Whitney Aircraft for 8 years up there, and I spent many a time in the, you know, fire departments in Connecticut, and the functions up there. And, you know, Carol, you've got some amazing people up there in that East Windsor area.
We sure do.
Yep, the police departments, the fire departments up there. You know, we did a lot of association with them when I was at Riverside Park Speedway with East Windsor Police Department and all up through that area. And just some amazing people that that come about to support the fire departments in their police departments and their city functions and community functions. You have probably, you know, one of the best areas up there, Carol, in that Broadbrook, East Windsor area. When it comes to community involvement, I think you guys get a high five and a gold star for the accomplishments that these folks have done with you and just for the community itself up there.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's
we love our community. I grew up here. Both my husband and I, we grew up here in Broadbrook. Yep.
Well, what is I got a question here that I wanted to ask. Out of your involvement with this Abby's Helping Hand here, what would you say was probably the most highlighted, high good time, best time, and most memorable time that you've had so far with this group, Carol?
Oh, I'd have to say at last year's Walk for Abby, where we surpassed our attendance by far, by nearly 50%, when 700 people, when you look out and you see these pictures of these, you know, people walking down the street, and you look out and they're all wearing the same color T-shirt. It was just amazing last year. Just every year, I think this particular event just is very emotional for me. It's so hard to believe when everybody comes out.
Well, since your group, since the Abby's Helping Hand group has started, have a lot of people reached out to you, Carol, to get information about the research and things such as the mitochondrial issue and disorder? Have you noticed people coming out to just to talk to you about it? I mean, is the community reaching out to you to get information as to how they can treat with this, how they can deal with it, how they can get help for it? How has the community reacted to you, Carol?
So they don't necessarily come to us in terms of what research we're doing, but they come to it. Now, I have to say and be clear that it's not just mitochondrial disease that we support, or, you know, it takes many forms, but there, any chronic disease, someone with cancer could come to us and say, we are in financial need for treatment that's not covered by insurance. And we may not be able to cover the entire treatment, but we will review what we have budget and we will give whatever we can. So although I am starting to have families reach out to me, like, you know, my family, we had a family who had a child who got very sick and had become paralyzed. And the hospital where they were would not allow them to be discharged unless they had handicap accessible housing. So this was a lower income family who had to move and did not have a security deposit. You have to have, you know, first and last month and whatever all up front. And they didn't have it. So we helped them with that. We helped them get, we took donations. They didn't have any furniture. They didn't have any food, basically. So we took donations. You know, we went down in our basements and looked for some household items that we weren't using or some furniture, and we helped the family get started. But the family was very nervous, a single mom going home. You know, she had the baby had a feeding tube. So I try and help them stay positive, you know, work through your case managers, or I give them some resources, other resources beyond Abby's Helping Hand that can help them as well in terms of getting assistance. So we it's not just limited to mitochondrial disease, and it's not, we give financial support, but we also try and give moral support as well.
That was another question here, that special needs around a house for children, you know, with the disease or with as Abby and everything here. You touched on a great issue there with helping people, you know, with handicap ramps and getting set up and things like that. Because I know here in the state of North Carolina, the laws require you to have, you know, handicap ramps, 40-inch wide door openings here, certain things in the house, a bathroom set up specifically for handicap, and stair chair in the house, you know, and medical access. There's the laws down here are pretty strict in North Carolina for having handicap and social inabilities here in a household, whether you're a child or you're an adult. But your organization there, is that the volunteers that you people have up there, if somebody needed, you know, a handicap ramp, or they needed, you know, refurbishing done to accommodate for handicap, Your volunteers, I mean, is this something that you've had to do, and do you have the volunteers that will do stuff like that for you?
We don't we don't have volunteers that necessarily build a ramp or maybe put in a roll-in shower, but some of our sponsors that we have corporate sponsors that sponsor our walk who have small businesses of their own. So we reach out to them and ask them to, you know, they don't necessarily do it for free, but they give us a good price and they help the family. They install maybe the ramp or they install the roll-in shower. So our corporate sponsors are very good to us as well.
Okay. The reason I brought that up, and this may be something that you want to look into, down here in North Carolina and South Carolina, Home Depot stores, which I'm sure you have up there, Home Depot have a organization. I have a very, very good friend that works out of the Home Depot over here in Lancaster, South Carolina, and he is actually the supervisor for a group that what Home Depot does, if you have an organization, now pay attention to me very carefully now because this is something that you may want to research. Home Depot's program at 100% zero cost, I'm talking zero, zero cost, with a reputable, like I said, group that has a non-profit organization for what you do, for the type of people that you to help and things like that. Home Depot's organization will donate materials, labor, and time to do all this for free.
Wow. I
so
did
you,
not know
you,
that.
Yep, you may want to research this. You may want to look into it because I don't know if it's nationally, but I'm sure it's going to be nationally. If Home Depot's here in North and South Carolina,
right.
There's no reason why they can't do it in Connecticut. So
absolutely.
What I would do is I would sit down and I would contact through your board people here. I would contact the Home Depot corporate people and get, you may have to go through a, you know, a couple of phone calls to get to the right person, or I could possibly research it, but I wouldn't let it go by because Donnie, a good friend of mine, he's a retired staff sergeant in the U.S. Army, four tours in Iraq, and he is one of the supervisors here at the Lancaster Home Depot. He actually is the foreman for the crews that go out and build the ramps. They redo, they refurbish people in needs of their homes. They do it on a regular basis. Every weekend, Home Depot delivers the lumber. These people go out, there's a crew of them, and they you know, whatever's needed. If they need to put in a new shower, if they need a deck, these stairs fixed, they do this, and it's all done voluntarily and donated at absolute zero cost through the Home Depot.
Wow, fantastic. I will definitely, thanks for the tip. Yeah.
Absolutely. Look into that. It wouldn't do me any good to give you Donnie's number down here because he's in South Carolina.
Yeah.
But
that's okay.
But from the research that that I've done with Donnie here and some of the people that we've spoke to that Donnie has done work for, they do everything from renovation to building. They've actually put up buildings for people. They got involved in building rehab houses. They've got involved in doing stuff for veterans. They've got involved for doing seniors. There's a huge, huge program. And Lowe's might even do it too. I don't know, but I'm saying from past knowledge that Home Depot is a is very, very involved charitable organization such as that.
Great.
So,
I will definitely look into that. Thank you. Thank you for the tip.
Absolutely. Research it. Check it out. See what you come up with. And very possibly, like I say, you know, I can what I may do, though, is I may ask Donnie. I'll send him an email and ask him for a specific department to, you know, to talk to to maybe get you in there a little bit quicker. But Donnie's been doing this now for 6 years, and they have built things all the way from Georgia all the way up through North and South Carolina.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's an amazing cause. It's an amazing group of people. And like I say, anything, folks, that we can do, you know, to help an organization like this here, folks, you know, research it, read about it, get to know about it, get your knowledge on it. Talk to Carol. She's on Facebook there. If you have questions, go to Abby's Helping Hand Facebook page. We'll go over the website one more time here. We'll get the addresses out for you. I'm sure she's got some phone numbers there that she can pass out. We won't leave you hanging there, folks. We're going to make sure that our goal, like I say, we're going to get on this first run of the ladder here, Carol. We got several steps to get to the top. And at the top up here, that goal is to be nationally recognized throughout the United States. So, you know, climb on board the ladder here, Carol. Let's get everybody on board. Let's take this ladder and get to the top here. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. How about one more time we go over the Facebook address, website address, and any phone numbers that these people can get in contact with or get information about?
Okay. So Facebook is Abby's Helping Hand. Again, that's ABBYS. You can spell Abby a number of different ways, but Abby is ABBY_S, Helping Hand. Our website, www.abbyshelpinghand.com. Our email address, abbyshelpinghand@gmail.com. And a phone number, 860-573-3321. And our address here in Broadbrook is P.O. Box 557, Broadbrook, Connecticut, 06016.
All right, folks, you got all that information, write it down. And if you weren't able to get all the information, folks, remember all the shows here for the MRG Radio Network are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for playback. Tonight's show is live at this time. When we sign off the air tonight from this show here, it'll be about 35 minutes or so if you had missed the show, where the replay and available uplink and upload. The shows are embedded. If you need to download the show, we have opened it up for on this particular show for you to go ahead and download the information if you need possibly. Most all our shows are not downloadable. This particular show here, because it's such a wonderful, wonderful cause. And it feels great, folks, to get away from just doing the aspects of racing, because, you know, there's so much out there in the world today that folks don't know about, that need to be educated on. And this is a subject right here, folks, that touches me a little bit more than most people need to know about at this time. But I just really couldn't wait to get Carol to come on the show here and talk about us, you know, talk about her, Abby's Helping Hand program here and what's been going on, and her daughter and folks. Like I said, we are so pleased to have them as a part, as an underlying associate here with WMRG 95.3 Network here. You hear us doing the underlying spots for them throughout our shows. We'll continue to do those. And folks, like I say, there's a goal here. There's a plateau that we've got to reach, folks, to make this a national goal. You know, let's get out there. Let's get up on the bicycles here. Let's ride around town. Let's do whatever we got to do. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your Twitter. Whatever it takes. It's a team effort, folks. It's not one. It's not two. It's not three, four. It's a team effort. Everybody and anybody, let's jump on board the Abby's Helping Hand train here. Let's get this thing rolling. It started up in Connecticut. Let's see if we can reach out to the other states. Let's reach out to as far as we can. Let's put this train into high gear and see where we can go with it, Carol. And, you know, I think just from the little bit of time that we've had here on the radio network here, And the people that you have up there around your area in the East Windsor area, up around Broadbrook up there, I don't think we're going to have too much trouble getting on board this this train here and getting the word out. Do you, Carol?
Oh, not at all. This is going to be great. I can't wait.
I think it's going to roll. You've got some great board members there. You know, Dale Nelson, she's on your committee. And, you know, you got some good people working with you. You've got some great people that are going to stand behind you, have stood behind you, and will stand behind you to further your ventures here with the Abby's Helping Hand program. And as far as folks, you know, I know a lot of people out there, you know, may not know how to approach a situation like this. You may not have all the information, but please, folks, don't hesitate. If you have children that may have some issues, if you have adults that may have some issues, anything questionable, Carol, I'm telling these people, anything that they may not know, because sometimes, you know, folks, I don't want to hear you don't have the income, you don't have the money to do this, your doctors won't talk to you. Folks, don't let the doctors sit there and persuade you differently. There are groups out here, and Carol, you can back us up on this. There are groups and organizations out there, folks, that will reach out and help you get the answers you need. Are we right, Carol?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, folks, don't hesitate. You know, don't sit there and let you know other people intimidate you. You know, stand up, speak out, speak up. You know, because with the people out there like Carol and her group and everybody involved in that group out there, folks, you know, life is too short. Life is precious out there. There's too many unanswered questions. And you know, when we're long gone, you know, diseases and crippling diseases, disabilities, things are still going to be there, folks. You know, St. Jude's organization has been organizing and running, you know, treatments for years and years and years and years to try to fight, you know, muscular dystrophy and cerebral palsies and just all these major crippling and life-threatening diseases out there. And the good folks here with Abby's Helping Hand, it doesn't stop there, folks. It keeps going. It takes people like Carol and her group and all the great people up there in Connecticut to recognize this, to stand behind her, to walk with her, to march with her, to hold their heads up high, and to stand proud and to be a proud representative and as we said, a proud member of Abby's Helping Hand. Carol, any closing comments?
No, just thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm always amazed by our supporters and how they come through for us. And there's nothing more rewarding than helping a child in need that needs any kind of therapy that will help them just lead a better life and just improve their quality of life and put a smile on their face. And it's so important for us to, you know, show you the people and publicize the pictures of the people that you are helping. So a lot of times in some organizations, you don't know exactly where your money's going to help. But here at Abby's Helping Hand, we really want you to know how your money and contributions are helping families in need. So thank you again, Greg, for this opportunity. Thank your listeners for listening and hearing our story and being a part of our journey. I really appreciate it.
Now, we really appreciate what you're doing, Carol, and all the listeners out there. And I know we've got a bunch of them out there here by looking at the numbers that are coming in right now. Stick around, Carol. We've got a very special dedication here, folks, before we close out the show. We've got a very special song that we want to you to listen to, folks out there. And like I say, if you've got any doubts, about anything that's going on in your life, medically or emotionally due to, you know, medical issues with your families and things like that, reach out to somebody, folks. Reach out, speak to somebody, get some information, make some phone calls. Believe me, folks, there are groups out there through the social services departments. There are things online that you can look up. You can go to the public library, folks, to get information. The public libraries, believe me, folks, has a vast list of things that they can either help you with, guide you to, direct you to. Your local doctors there possibly can give you some information. But ask people. Don't hesitate. Speak up, stand up, and be heard, and ask questions. But stick around, everybody. We got something here. It's going to take about 3 minutes, and we want you to listen here. This is WMRG 95.3 with our host tonight, Carol Sauerhofer, and the G-Man here. Folks, we'll be right back. Stick around here. We don't want you to go anywhere. Just listen to what we have here, and I think you'll really enjoy.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is gonna change. I close my begin to pray, then tears of joy stream down my face.
Folks, as we say, don't just open your arms, open your hearts, open your minds, and let your feelings be expressed, folks. Carol, I want to thank you very much for being a part of the show here tonight. And as we said there, we'll get started on that that website for you and get that page up and running here. And we'll probably, over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours here, but shoot some messages back and forth there to get some information and get some other things from you. So, again, Carol, from all of us here at WMRG 95.3 and for all the listeners out there, Carol, you're an amazing person. What you're doing is absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And again, it's our supporters who inspire us every single day. So thank you.
No, it's our pleasure, folks. And Carol, again, thank you. And to all the members of your committee and to all the good folks out there at Abby's Helping Hand, God bless you all. Thank you for being a part of our life. Thank you for being a part of my life tonight. Thank you for sharing everything. Thank you for sharing the dreams. And folks, as we always say at the MRG studios here, if you have a dream, walk the dream. Don't look behind. Always look forward, folks. Never give up your dream. Never give up your hope. Never give up your faith. Folks, take care. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night again. Join us here tomorrow night right back here at the MRG studios. Take care, everybody. God bless. Carol, from all of us here, God bless you, dear.
Thank you, Greg. God bless.
Well, good night, everybody. Take care and have a great night. Thank you for joining us here at the MRG studios. This is the G-Man. We'll say good night right now. And don't forget, we'll join us here tomorrow night for another show. Take care, everybody. God bless everybody. Abby's Helping Hand, thank you all for your work, your efforts, and everything that you do in the world today. Remember, folks, we got a goal and a ladder to climb. Let's reach that goal. Let's get up there to the top run. Let's get this as a national event here. Take care, everybody. God bless. Good night.